Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our epistle text for today, it's good for us to start with the second half of the epistle in chapters 10, verses 1 to 5. St. Paul mentions the people of the Old Testament, the children of Israel, who were wandering through the wilderness after being liberated from slavery in Egypt, and they were on their way to the promised land. But first they had to wander in the wilderness. And so St. Paul says, all our fathers, that is the children of Israel, were under the cloud, that is, they lived under the daily manifestation of the presence of God. Everywhere they went, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And in this way, the Lord manifested his gracious presence among them. So all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, that is the Red Sea. The water stood up as walls on either side of them, and they were conducted by the Lord through the Red Sea, and when they were safe on the other side, the sea collapsed at the command of God upon the wicked Egyptians and slew them all. And he goes on and he says, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So the passing through the Red Sea, St. Paul speaks of as a shadow and a type of Christian baptism, so that the children of Israel in the Old Covenant, they experienced a typical, a shadowy baptism in the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea, and this prefigures and is fulfilled by Christian baptism, by which we die to sin and live to God in Christ. All right, so they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and they did all eat the same spiritual food. All right, they all ate the same spiritual food. He's referring to the manna which every day descended from heaven, and the children of Israel gathered it and they ate it, and the Lord God took care of them day by day with this spiritual food that came down from heaven. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, what is Paul trying to say to us? He's saying that the children of Israel had every reason to be faithful, every reason to remain steadfast in the Lord. All right? They had baptism. They had the Lord's Supper, but they had this in a type and in a figure. And so he says, we are like those children of Israel. We have great, abundant blessings and every reason to flourish in the things of God and to be found faithful and to be found steadfast. We, just like them, are nourished and kept and blessed and showered by God with his presence and with his signs and with his gifts, so that we may be faithful and that we may remain steadfast. All right? So the types of the Old Testament find their fulfilling correspondence in the New Testament. And we are the recipients of the New Testament realities that the Old Testament pointed forward to. All right, so then he ends this paragraph by saying this: but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, if you have read Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you are well aware of how many times the children of Israel lusted after evil things and fell into sin. You are aware of how, while Moses was up receiving the word of God on the mountain, they were worshiping the golden calf and committing idolatry down on the ground. You are well aware of how often they fell into committing fornication and sin. And you are well aware of how often they murmured and they mutinied and they complained. They who were every day reminded of God's presence, every day fed with manna that dropped down from heaven. They had experienced water proceeding from a rock in order to feed them, and yet they lusted after evil things. They committed idolatry. They fornicated. They tempted Christ, and they murmured against the ways of God. So it's no wonder that they were overthrown in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, we learn from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy that only two of the people who left Egypt actually crossed into the promised land. And that was Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones of the original generation that were considered worthy to enter into the promised land. The rest died in the wilderness, and only their children entered into the promised land. So it's a sobering history. And St. Paul tells it to us so that we may be circumspect as we consider ourselves and our service to the Lord and our Christian faith. And so with that, we can go back now and look at chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. He says to the Corinthians and to us, don't you know that they which run in a race, all the contestants in a race, they all run, everybody runs, but only one receives the prize. So he's using an illustration from sports, and he's saying, in a race, everybody runs, but only one person wins. And he compares this to us, but there's a big difference with us, and that is, we all run, and every one of us can win. That is, we can all endure to the end and be saved. And so, that's the difference in the illustration. Everybody runs, and everybody can win, because this is the race that is the race of the grace of God in Christ. All right? So he says, in a race, everybody runs, but one receives the prize. And then he says to us, so run that ye may obtain. So what Paul is doing here is he is encouraging Christians to conduct their life like those who want to endure to the end and be saved. All right? He doesn't want us to fall into carnal security. He doesn't want us to live our lives aimlessly and haplessly. He wants us to run with our eyes on the prize. Now, he doesn't want us to think that our running earns us a place in heaven. We are permitted to run the race of our life by the very grace of God by which he has redeemed us and saved us. So we who are running the good race, we who are fighting the good fight, we are there and doing so because we have been apprehended. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are the redeemed of Jesus Christ, and therefore we are to live in response to our exalted status as the children of God. We are to run the race of our life, or to fight the fight of our life, as people who wish to win the prize. That is, he that endureth to the end, the same shall obtain. And he says in verse 25, everyone that competes in athletic competition, everyone who does that exercises self-discipline or self-control in all things. You know, the competitors in sports do not spend the day before and the evening before in debauchery and sin. They train themselves and they live their lives with great self-discipline and self-control. Everyone that strives for the mastery is self-controlled in all things. And they do it, these people racing in the games, they do it in order to receive a perishable crown. You know, at the end of the race, you know what the winner gets? He gets a crown on his head made up of wilted celery stalks. All right? That's what he wins, in addition to the applause of the people and the satisfaction of knowing that he ran well. He gets a perishable crown, something that fades away, because everything in this world fades away. Anything that you anchor your soul to that is of this world, it will fail you, it will pass away, it will fade, and you will be left with nothing. And so they do it, the worldlings, the competitors in a race, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible. Now, so what is the prize that we are looking? So run that you may obtain. The prize is the incorruptible crown of glory that awaits all of the redeemed when Jesus returns and he inaugurates the new heaven and the new earth, the kingdom of glory. It is the incorruptible crown of glory that we are looking for and that we are tending towards in our life as we keep our eyes on the prize. Therefore, we want to be careful how we live our lives. Now, he goes on, I therefore so run. He gives an example of how he does it, right? He says, I so run not as uncertainly, all right? All the runners in a race in the Greek games, all the runners are uncertain when they run, because they know that only one receives the crown. And so they are uncertain. But Paul says, when I run in the strength and power of the gospel, in the light of the forgiveness of sins, when I run with certainty that by the grace and work of God, I will endure to the end and be saved. This is the big difference between human religion and the religion of Jesus Christ. We live our lives in this world in the assurance that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life, and that all of this is won for us and fully accomplished for us by Christ. And therefore, when we run as those who are confident that we are going to win the race. And therefore, we do, in this confidence, we do everything that tends toward that victory. He goes on and he says, so fight I. He's talking about the boxing matches in the ring. He says, so fight I, not like someone who beats the air. In other words, I don't fight like somebody who is constantly swinging and missing, swinging and missing. I don't fight like that. I make sure that when I swing, I connect, all right? In other words, that everything he does by the grace of God, the power of the Spirit, and in accordance with the very word of God. And so his life and his service to the Lord is not aimless. It is not directionless. It is not futile. But it is in accordance with the God who has redeemed us and saved us. So he says, so therefore, this is the way I conduct my life. Now we have to look at this from a positive and a negative standpoint. Positively this, to run the good race and to fight the good fight means ever to make faithful use of the word of God and the grace of God given to us in the holy sacraments. It is by means of the gospel that we are brought to faith. It is by means of the gospel that we are sustained in the faith and strengthened in the faith. Not by the works of the law, not by our own religiosity, but purely by faith in the grace of God promised to us in the holy word of the gospel. So that as Christians, the key thing for the preservation of our faith is that we ever make diligent use of the word and the sacraments, the means of grace, the means by which he gives us his grace to sustain and grow our faith, so that as the years go by, we don't diminish in faith, we don't diminish in our service to God, but we grow and mature in it. So that's the positive thing, is that to be a Christian and to run the good race and to fight the good fight, the first thing that we want to make sure that we are always doing is making faithful use of God's word. And that means regular faithful church attendance, and it means private study of God's word, reading and praying over the Bible in your daily devotions. All right, so that is the key thing. And also to remember that the gospel is also presented to us in the sacrament of the altar and in holy baptism, to make faithful use of those things as well. Negatively, it is this. You are always being tempted by the old Adam's lust. You got that old Adam in there, you know, Paul frequently talks about the fact that according to my spirit, I delight in the law of God, but in the flesh, I have another law at work. And there's this conflict going on in the life of the Christian. And you live your life in this conflict. There's a struggle going on with you because you have the new man living in you, your new nature in Christ, but you also have the old Adam still living in you. And the old Adam is easily led into all manner of evil lusts. The old Adam loves religion, but he loves idolatrous religion. The old Adam loves to find excuses to commit fornication. The old Adam loves to provoke God to anger when it feels that God is not paying due attention to his needs. And the old Adam loves to be a whinger, a whiner, and a complainer against the ways of God. And so you and I, we've got this old Adam in us. And therefore, negatively, we need to keep knocking him back down in the grave. It's like one of those horror movies where some monster is buried, and just when you think everything is good and the movie's coming to an end, a fist comes out of the grave and it claws his way up. What do? You take a shovel and you blast him back down and pour the dirt back over him. That's what we do. When the old Adam rises up within us, we, by the strength of God's grace and in accordance with the word, we drown him. We bury him. We do battle with him. Or as St. Paul says here, I pummel my body and bring it into servitude. That's what he says. I literally speaking, I give my body a black eye. All right? I give my body a black eye and make it serve my spirit. I make my body do what my spirit says it ought to do. All right? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So, we don't want to be castaways. We don't want to be those who have slowly allowed the old Adam to regain the ascendancy in our lives so that we lose our faith, lose the gift of the Holy Spirit, and become impenitent and unbelieving. Rather, we want to ever be using God's word for the strengthening of our faith. And whenever we see anything that allows the old Adam to climb up and reassert his dominance, we, by repentance and faith, we kick him back down in the grave, and we see to it that we are ever led by the Spirit. And so today, we have a goal set before us, and the goal is, so run that ye may obtain. Obtain what? The imperishable crown. That crown is guaranteed to you in your baptism. You live in the light of your coming victory with every breath you take throughout your entire life. And as you live from day to day, you are to be ever using the word of God that strengthens you in your confidence of victory. And you must always be suppressing the old Adam and putting him back in the grave where he belongs. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.